Blog Talk Radio.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
listening to the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're tuned into the voice of the voiceless. This is the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine reminder and blessing in our midst, in the personage of the last and most surely, the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad, and we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and the title of our show today is called Welcome to the Age of Chaos, Class Warfare, Insurrection, War, and Collapse. Now, there's a reason for this. There's a reason that the name of the show is called that. It's because all of this stuff is going on right now. Insurrection, class warfare, war, more war, and we're under threat of an impending market meltdown or market collapse. We're looking at a global, as they say in the alternative sphere, economic reset. We're looking at wealth destruction and a wealth transfer. We're looking at mass poverty and starvation. We're looking at the change of worlds. Don't get frustrated when you hear all of these things, black man and black woman. These things must take place. They must come into being, or else God cannot bring in his world of perfection. You understand? Don't get disheartened. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel bad. The scripture tells you that when you see all of these things, rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice now because this man who has ruled and dominated the entire world and the sphere of man and animal for the past 6,000 years is being removed. Everything that he has used to rule, to dominate, and to maintain his power is being uprooted. So again, I say to you, welcome to the age of chaos, class warfare, insurrection, war, and collapse. This is a beautiful time to have your spiritual eyes open. This is a beautiful time to be physically alive, because the prophets of old wish that they could live to see just one of the days, not of the presence of the Son of Man, but of the coming of the Son of Man. And we have lived all of our lives in the presence and the manifestation of God and his aims and purpose. You tell me that's not beautiful. So what we're looking at today, black man and black woman, we want to get into some clips because we know that how this devil does it, and we know he'll mess up some clips. But I told you on the last show that I would redo one of the clips and name it something else. So later down the line, we'll see if that worked, and we'll see if he will allow us to play it. But I want to get into this chaos that is engulfing America and engulfing the white world. I want to get into this insurrection, this class warfare that's going on within America, and we're going to bounce from within America to around the globe, okay? But we're going to lay the foundation, the base, so you can see the underlying teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're going to show you that remember we was having a conversation one day, Brother Rashid, Brother Gerald, and myself. And Brother Gerald and I, we were laughing of something that Rashid said. He said when he was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was painting the house, one of the children of the messenger was there, I think the next door or down the street. And he came down there where they were. And when Rashid and the brother who was with him referred to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the messenger, the brother went on a tantrum. The messenger's son went on a tantrum. Brother, don't you believe that that man met with God? Don't you believe that that man talked with God and got this stuff? Now, if we take what the messenger's sons who were disbelievers, his children who were disbelievers said, and we go to their side, we can automatically see in this day and time that we are the loser. But if we focus on what the messenger teaches and we look at the unfolding events of the world and we hear what the devil himself is saying, and we stand on the side and on the word of the last message of God, then we are already victorious, whether we're living or dead. Again, black man and black woman, I wanted to share that with you because it was amazing to me. Because we can go into any book and we can go into any lecture of Messenger Muhammad, and we can extract the truth and see where he had already said these things that are happening today, whether it's from 2002, 2008, 2015, and up to the date, up to 2025. The mathematical calculations are astonishing for those who have eyes to see. Because now everything that he had foretold to happen in those time frames has happened and is underway right now. You can't deny this because it's ever clear, okay? We're going to go into a clip. I want you to hear what's going on in America. Remember the insurrection that America... Where's my fall of America? Before we go in, let me preface that with this. Go to page 255, I believe it is. This is on my mind. All right, yeah, 255. Listen to this. According to radio and television, and according to individual conversation, and according to conversation heard between government officials concerning their problem of trying to find a way to peace for their people, and to find a way to... and to find stoppage of their fall of their money market and unemployment. This is where we at right here. This is the part I'm going to get to right here. And a stoppage to the revolutions between the dissatisfied and the dissatisfied. And to find a way to be able to eat and to keep the hungry eating from his own labor. Pacification is offered, but it does not satisfy. Stop right there for a minute. This is what they're offering you with the illusions of a rebounding economy. This is what they're offering you with the movies trying to make you feel good, trying to make you believe that things are not as bad as your wallet tells you. Things are not as bad as signs indicate. Don't believe your hungry stomach. Don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe your wallet and the bills that are mounting on you. Believe my lying mouth. This is what they're saying to you. They're offering pacification, but it does not satisfy. So Muhammad says, with nations rejecting peace offers and nations laughing and making mock of you forever seeking peace and friendship, as it is written, peace is desired more than fine gold. Now to see all of these things, he's talking about the job collapse, the money market collapse, the desperation of the American government, the wars and the rumors of more wars, right? The financial meltdown, the exploding poverty, the wealth destruction. He's talking about all of it. The class warfare, the movement for secession or seceding from the United States, the divide between black and white. Now to see all of these things coming to pass, things that we did not know that we would see. We did not know that we would see such a Goliath, such a giant fallen. Goliath who has defied the nations of the earth to come out and fight with them, as Goliath did before Israel. Isn't that what America does when she flies her planes close to Russia? Isn't that what America does when she goes and sails her ships close to China? Isn't that what America does when she has war games right on the steps of North Korea? Isn't that what America does when she deploys her troops without the permission of the Iraqi government, the Syrian government, the Pakistani government, the Somalian government, the Libyan government? Name it. Take your pick. Right? demonstrations all across America that the media is trying to silence, pacification is offered, but it does not satisfy. This is what we're talking about. I want you to see, hear this three-minute clip of 39,000. And the media has not even covered this, right? This is in America. 39,000 people, black, white, brown, and red, have been marching and protesting that their jobs not be outsourced from Verizon. And you can barely hear people, 39,000, right? Isn't that something? Pacification is offered, but it does not satisfy. Listen to this.
Verizon workers continue to strike along the East Coast, although following the mainstream media, you never know it. The strike did get some coverage when Bernie Sanders, followed by Hillary Clinton, showed up to visit striking workers on April 18th, just before the New York primary. David Dayan of The Intercept points out the lack of attention the strike has generated by major media outlets, most noticeably the New York Times. For the latest on the strike, let's turn to Peter Sikora. He is the strike coordinator for the Communication Workers of America. Peter, good to have you with us tonight. Has the lack of attention by the mainstream media hurt your efforts in this strike, in this battle with Verizon?
You know, there's 39,000 people out there on the streets fighting Verizon's corporate greed to save good jobs. And, of course, we want more media attention. The coverage that we've gotten has been very good and has shined a spotlight on Verizon's greed and their desire to offshore and outsource more jobs.
Is it important to stay in front of the public? Do you think the public knows what you're up against? And I guess what other issues are there that Verizon is trying to take advantage of the workers on?
You know, it's a really good question. The public understands Verizon is a greedy behemoth. People are paying too much for services, while Verizon makes over $1.5 billion in profits every single month. Their CEO makes $18 million a year, which is 246 times what the average Verizon worker makes. He literally makes $9,000 an hour. So the public, I think, understands that Verizon and corporations are just completely out of control in America. They want to offshore jobs, they want to contract out jobs, and they want to prevent people from having a decent middle-class lifestyle so they can subsidize money funneled up to the 1%.
Do you think the fact that you're saying that Verizon is making $1 billion a month is going to strike a chord with the public, that where there might be some public outcry that Verizon would have to settle this?
You know, Verizon, we know that people are not crossing picket lines to go into Verizon wireless stores. Their traffic has plunged at those stores. At the same time, their brand image has plummeted in surveys. And, you know, for our members who are seeing their health care benefits cut off this past Sunday by Verizon, they're talking to hundreds of thousands of people every single day. So regardless of the media's coverage, and we really appreciate your coverage, we're getting our message out, and yes, people are being heard. One day longer, one day stronger is what we say.
And Peter, what are Verizon's plans here to fix the fact that there are 39,000 workers missing? What's their game plan, in your opinion?
Their game plan is to crush the union and to try and outsource as many jobs as they can so that they can pump up their profits, and we're just not going to let them. They have put replacement workers out there that cannot do a proper job. So if you're trying to get your Fios installed or you're trying to get your broken phone fixed, it's not going to work right now. So they're taking a lot of damage because customers are realizing that the services that they should be getting from 39,000 people who know what they're doing aren't being provided right now.
Peter Sikora, keep up the fight in solidarity, my friend. Keep going. Thank you.
And thanks for your coverage on the TPP, Ed. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, you see the rise in insurrection within America. They have been protesting. Don't forget about the walk-offs that have taken place on the West Coast at some time the past few weeks or past few months about the dock workers protesting and all. America is under divine chastisement, all within our borders. You hear about the storms, you hear about the quakes, but what you're not hearing about is the economic collapse that has gone to the very core and root of America, and it's rattling America, shaking her to the very essence. You're not listening to this. You're not hearing that. They're not telling you all of these things. And if you think that you still have a future or a job in America, I want you to think again. Just, and I want you to think of this number. This is 45 seconds. clip, I believe they say, while unemployment stands at 5%. We know that's a lie. John Williams of ShadowStats says if you use the calculations that the government was using prior to Obama taking office, the unemployment would be between 20 and 25%. Now, that's something, right? That's a quarter of the population. But look, this is where it gets even more rigid for you. John Williams also says, and other people have verified this, that black unemployment stands at 2.5 to 3 times what white unemployment stands at in America. Now, look at this. This is the thing that gets lost in alternative media. They love to point to the fact that unemployment is between 20 and 25% true unemployment. Well, if we're 2.5 to 3 times, then that says we can be upwards to 75% unemployed. And that's why you see the black people walking the streets, twirling their hair, pants sagging down, no direction, nothing to do. There's nothing for them. So they must see, this is God's chastisement. He's going to force the black man to himself. He's going to force the separation. This stuff is underway. He's going to force you to look at the system for what it is, the people who run the system for who they are, and this nation for what it is. You got to look at this. You ain't going to be able to turn to the left or to the right. It's going to hit you smack dab in your face. You don't want to hear it because you don't like Elijah Muhammad. But, see, we've been riding this donkey for so long, and we wanted to go in another direction. And as the scriptures teach you, the donkey wouldn't let us go in the direction that we wanted to go in because he saw trouble down the line. But we thought we were the masters of the donkey because we looked good. We dressed all right. We had a couple pennies in our pocket. But according to scripture, that angel said, if that donkey would not have seen me, I would have slain both of you. So we've been riding this donkey for so long, and the donkey has been telling us not to go down that path of integration, not to go down that path of assimilation, because integration, it brings about assimilation. And that's why the book, the Bible, I'm telling you, the first 5 books, go check that stuff out. God had talked to Moses, and he told the people, don't integrate into Pharaoh's society. Push them to themselves, because if they integrate, they will assimilate, and I will be rough with them too, and I will be forced to kill them. I'll be forced to kill them. So you're going to integrate in his political system. You're going to integrate into his educational system. You're going to integrate in his judicial system, forcing God's hand. Either God will have to do what he said, or he'll be proven a liar. Which one do you think he's going to do? Huh? Welcome to the age of chaos, class warfare, insurrection, war, and collapse. Listen to this 45-second clip, I believe it is, about them talking about this.
In the U.S., job growth has hit a record slump as last month marked its lowest pace in 3 years. According to the ADP National Employment Report, private American businesses only hired 156,000 people last month, the smallest gain since April 2013. Weak hiring activity across most sectors has also been affected. Meanwhile, Washington released a report showing that productivity across the country has shrunk since the beginning of last year, causing concerns among economists. Last year alone, productivity rose just by 0.7%, marking 5 straight years of weak growth. Americans are growing increasingly dissatisfied with the poor state of the economy and the unemployment rate, which is at 5%.
Did you hear what he said? Americans are growing increasingly dissatisfied. Right, with the situation. Muhammad tells us that the dissatisfaction of the people would be a lever in pulling down the house of America. It would be a cause in the falls of America. As a matter of fact, he has it in chapter 23 called The Dissatisfied. And he's talking about this, about how the people would become more and more dissatisfied as God's judgment rains down on America. And he goes and says, we are living in the time when dissatisfaction is 100% throughout the world of man and mankind. Therefore, we are living amongst the dissatisfied persons daily and nightly. No one is satisfied, though they may be righteous. They are not satisfied because they are living among unrighteousness. So the whole entire world of the wicked and the righteous is upset due to dissatisfaction. The dissatisfied are he means that there's more people and more people are becoming or growing dissatisfied. The dissatisfied is gaining, like Muhammad says. The dissatisfied are gaining every day more and more among the people whom they hope to bring into the same condition that they are in. And today, nothing is made so clear to the chief maker of dissatisfaction. Now, in this chapter, he talks about the judgment taking place and how Allah is bringing America to her knees. In this chapter, he's talking about the 24-hour news cycles, the gossip shows, and all of these things playing a part in the destruction and fall of America. What do we see? Can we calculate his words back then and measure them up to the date? Of course we can. We can lay them on a scale of facts. And we can come to a conclusion that Elijah Muhammad knows the truth. Elijah Muhammad has given us the truth. And now what we're looking at is an age of nothing but chaos, class warfare, insurrection, ward collapse, because dissatisfaction leads to conflict or confrontation. When the people of Yaqub's time suffered from a 30% dissatisfaction, this brought about a universal change, almost, completely, almost. And what happened was Yaqub played upon the dissatisfaction of the people to bring in his world. And we're living in it. Now his world has come to an end, and they are dissatisfied. And everybody who's in this world of his is dissatisfied. Therefore, we have reached 100% satisfaction. Therefore, there must be not just a global change, a universal change. Therefore, you hear the alternative media speaking of a global reset, climate change, unusual weather patterns. We're seeing stuff in space. We're seeing UFOs, earthquakes in diverse places. They're seeing volcanic activity that they've never seen before. They're seeing mass fish and animal die-offs. Because the world and the universe has been under the heavy yoke and burden of Yaqub for the past 6,000 years, and now the natural order, isn't that what Mr. Manarino says? Everything corrects back to its natural state, to its fair market value, right? In this collapse, it would seem as though it's an economic collapse, but what it is a resetting to the original state, he says, right? So this is what we're under right now. The change of worlds. One world has been pushed out and destroyed. And another world, the base of it has already been laid. And now God is erecting the pillars to hold the entire structure together. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I tell you this. If you don't believe that we're witnessing the massive madness that is spreading across the world, but it's particularly here in America, and the warfare, the class warfare that is being conducted against black America, you can look all around the poverty-stricken urban areas, and you'll see it. And look how when the people of Flint, Michigan, and the people of Detroit stood up against the unlawful abuse of the system, even though we know the system is unlawful itself, but it's supposed to guarantee certain things. And the people are making it known that these people are crooks. Now we see class warfare. And we see the people in Flint, they're being misused and abused. And all across America, but particularly I'm coming to a point on this. And in Detroit, they have now started charging the people and cutting off water everywhere, and at the same time, and this is a humanitarian crisis, this is under the UN Charter. I want you to understand something. They have intervened in other countries for less, militarily, for less than this, because they say water is a right that shall not be deprived. And if you are trying to deprive a certain population under UN mandate, peacekeepers or troops from foreign nations can come in. Right? And set up a humanitarian zone, the same thing that they're trying to do in the nations that they broke into pieces, right? What's good for the goose should be good for the gander, right? Come on, talk back to your brother. Now, they're playing class warfare. They are cutting off thousands of people water in Michigan. and talking about for non-payment, they're starting this stuff over again. You're not hearing this in the news. And also, because Detroit is under emergency management, the people who were appointed by the governor, who is also the cause of Flint, have stolen the money of the educational system in Detroit, and you're not seeing it. So there's a rising up in that area. There's a rising up all across America because of the crookedness, the corruption, the greed, the disregard for human life and the sanctity of life, right? And the people are protesting. The people are saying, this is chaos. This is class warfare. And you're seeing the signs of growing insurrection and the dissatisfied that are gaining every day. Listen to this. This is about four-minute clip. This is about what's going on in the educational system in Detroit. Okay? So what we're trying to do right now is point you into how America is being broken down bit by bit. And the reason we go here first is because we want you to see the fall of America in progress, in process. And we can go to the books and point to where Elijah Muhammad had foretold that these things were going to take place and what these things mean in the overall view of the liberation and salvation of black people in America and the collapse of the American Republic. So bear with us, brothers and sisters, and listen closely to what we're offering to you. Here we are.
Today marks the beginning of Teacher Appreciation Week. It's almost hard to say that considering what's going on in the city of Detroit. But teachers in Detroit, they're not really feeling the appreciation at all. The Detroit Public School District doesn't have enough money to pay its teachers after June 30th. That would be a problem. In response, over 1,000 teachers staged a sick out today. 94 out of 97 Detroit public schools were closed. 45,000 students miss class. Michigan's legislature has approved almost $50 million in emergency money for the school system, but that only pays the bills through the end of June. For more, let's turn to Ivy Bayless, an interim president of the Detroit Federation for Teachers. Ivy, nice to have you with us tonight. Take us to the root of problem. Where's the money? And I keep reading things that people don't know where the money is. And if that's the case, why is it?
You know, thanks for having me, and I don't know where the money is at either. And part of what we're going to ask for is a forensic audit, some type of audit, so we can find out what's going on with this money and where the money's gone to. You know, the teachers are basically sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, we ask, and I don't take it lightly. If anyone has been following our story, you know, we've had sick outs in the past that the union did not sanction. I do understand the teachers' frustration, so we have to support our teachers. But this here, to ask someone to work and there's no guarantee that they're going to be paid for the work that they do, that they're doing, is just totally wrong. It is just totally wrong.
Ivy, isn't the funding mechanism the problem? Property taxes pay a certain portion of school budgets. You have a low assessment taking place. You got federal money from No Child Left Behind that never showed up, and you got the state shortchange in the district. I mean, don't you have a three-way storm going on here?
And you know what? We probably have a five-way storm going here because we also are up under emergency management. And so that has been an issue, too. And our frustration, the reason why we're so frustrated is because we've had these emergency managers over the last 10 years. They're supposed to be financial people who know how to control the district's funds and to make us solvent.
And the fear here is that all they're going to do is try to cut themselves into a profit, or cut the budget even further to try to get them into the operating realm of what they want to do. But in the meantime, you've got thousands of public school students.
Correct.
Because of the zip code they come from, they end up paying the price. That's it, isn't it?
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, people need to understand that the teachers care about their students. We care about our school system. But we have to be advocates. And when we see something wrong, we have to say something about it. But just the fact about this pay is totally wrong. We cannot work for free. You know, we've had pay cuts over the last 10 years. We've loaned our district $9,000. You know, we're not only just worried about not being paid for the work that we've already done. We're also worried about, are we going to get our $9,000 back?
So what's the solution? The critics might say that this is all an attempt to get rid of public education. And believe me, there's people on the right wing that think that's the right way to go. What's the solution here?
That's not the right way to go. I believe the solution is, first of all, to look at how public school systems are funded. In Detroit, we have a different issue also because we have a large population of students with special needs. And I believe that they need to do, there was supposed to be an audit done that was supposed to be out in March to find out how much it costs each school district to educate their students. And I believe in Detroit and that with that large population of special ed students, it's costing us a lot more than it's costing other school districts.
Do you think this sick out, the action today, is going to be effective? Some lawmakers on the other side are saying that it was not helpful. Your response?
You know what? It may not be helpful, but it's what's right. You know, and they're probably going to come back with some type of punitive measures against us. But somebody has to speak up for what's right. If we continue to not say anything about all the atrocities that are going on, just like we brought out the issues of the environmental issues of the things that were going on in the schools, if we didn't do that, those things would continue to happen. They are at least working on trying to fix some of those issues that we brought forth. And now we're at another point where now you don't want to pay us for the work that we've already done.
Okay.
If we don't... The district is saying that as of June the 30th, it has no more money, not just for our pay, but for summer school for some of our special ed students and summer school for regular students.
Well, we're going to find
out
in Washington who cares about public education. That's really what it comes down to, because as I see it, the only solution is going to be federal help. Ivy Bailey,
great. And you know what? I agree. I agree.
Ivy Bailey, great to have you with us tonight. We'll follow the story. Thank you so much.
Do you see the class warfare? Do you see the growing dissatisfaction? Do you see the corruption and the decay of the system? Do you see the people raging about whether or not they're going to be paid and whether they're going to be able to feed their own families while teaching? What did Elijah Muhammad say? According to radio and television, and according to individual conversation, and according to conversation heard between government officials concerning their problem of trying to find a way to peace for their people and a way to find the stoppage of the fall of their money market and unemployment, and a stoppage to the revolutions between the dissatisfied and the dissatisfied, and to find a way to be able to eat and to keep the hungry eating from his own labor. Pacification is offered. But what? It just does not satisfy. Because we're in a time now where things must take place. I want to go back to something. Let's go back to this chapter 21. Because the reason I got on this subject is because I want you to understand that what I'm telling you is written right here in these books. And it's especially in this book called Fall of America. So if we want to get an idea of what to expect, what to look for, what to look at, what to see, what to know when we're looking around in America, we can get the best glimpse of it in a book called The Fall of America by Messenger Elijah Muhammad. And in this chapter, 21, in this book, Muhammad writes, the name of the chapter is titled, Destruction of America's Educational System. Why did he say that? Well, we're going to learn why did he say that, and we're going to see the weight that it adds to what is going on in Detroit and other cities around the nation. And we'll see that America is in a decay. She's in a degenerative state, and her internal affairs are spiraling downward, mimicking her international affairs, which are spiraling out of control. So again, I say to you all who are listening to the most powerful show of truth, welcome to the age of chaos, class warfare, insurrection, war, and collapse. In this chapter 21, titled Destruction of America's Education, Muhammad speaks to us, and he says this: the plague of Allah against the educational system of America is something that the philosophers and scientists should look into, as the destruction of America's education is the destruction of their wisdom to educate the people. Stop right there. He's not leaving this to the lowly or to the middle class. He's talking about to the elite intellectually. And they should focus on this here, because without this, the underlying foundation of the republic implodes upon itself. Muhammad says, the plague of Allah against the educational system of America, this is what he said, is something that the philosophers and scientists should look into. Why, Muhammad? As the destruction of America's education is the destruction of their wisdom to educate the people. There are many who look on the destruction without taking a second thought. I'm going to stop right there. When you see the teachers protesting, when you see the teachers walking out, when you see the teacher abuse of the student abuse of the teachers, the defunding of colleges, the defunding of schools, all of these things, you look on it and you just smile and keep going about your business because you're more concerned with the football game, the baseball game, the basketball game, the fight. But you're not understanding what is taking place. You are living in real time, real action, the fall of America. This is as the scholars in the intelligence field say, this is actionable intelligence we're trying to give to you. Okay? Listen to what he says. There are many who look on the destruction without taking a second thought of the destruction of America's education. Education is a guide for the people to keep and maintain a civilized life. Stop right there. We take this bit by bit. Education, he says, is a guide for the people to keep and maintain a civilized life. Now, what we're seeing out in the streets, what we're seeing happening in people's homes, what we're seeing happening in government offices is savagery. We're seeing the people devolve into beast-like states, having fistfights in the city councils, having fistfights in the governments, right? We're seeing people disrespecting life and the sanctity of life and gunning you down, robbing you, and then killing you if you don't give them what you've earned. The savagery. So, of course, the education base is not doing what it was made for, and that's to civilize a savage and to keep them civilized, right? So the whole nation of America, the Republic of America, has devolved into a savage state. Why? Because the savagery that they put on you and I must now come back to them in full force. You understand? So Muhammad goes further and he says, it is education that civilizes us. Now to see the citizens of America rebelling against the American educational system is something that the wise of the wise should take thought of. The American people actually have come to the point where they hate their own educational system. This means that they are now hating and destroying their civilization because it is education that civilizes people, right? So when you see a lot of savagery, when you see a lot of decadence, when you see a lot of materialism, you can see that they are not civilized. They may have read a book. They may be literate, but they're not educated in the right way. So they devolve into beasts of the field. Now listen, we'll go a little further because I'm trying to bring this point home. We have to do these things, brothers and sisters, for those of you who are new to the show. Brother Rashid, I'm going to bring you in shortly. I gotta bring this point home, and then I'm going to play a one-minute clip, and I'm going to bring you back in. I'm going to bring you in, okay? Just give me a second to go through this. And we have to do this because the devil has you so tangled up, and these black power movements have you so tangled up that you don't realize that you're still a servant to the white man. So we have to untangle you delicately so as not to damage you and bring you back to a state of health, okay? I want you to pay close attention to what we're saying here. Muhammad writes, the American people no longer want their education and they are destroying the very houses that house their textbooks of education. They are rebelling against their teachers who teach education. Let me stop right here for a minute because as I was reading that, something popped in my mind to show you just how beast-like the people have devolved into. They arrested a young teenager. I think he was a football player, white. It should have been all over the news. If it was a black person, it would have been all over the national news or whatever, but it was shown sporadically or whatever because it was a white guy. And he took a yearbook picture, and in the yearbook picture, he had his pants down showing his genital area. And he and his classmates thought that was hilarious. All right? Do you see that when you measure yourself in terms of your genitals, you are a beast. You are a savage. Because you're not measured in terms of that. You're measured in terms of spiritual wealth and growth. And how well you are in your observance of duty to the Lord of the world. That's where your real wealth lies. Not in your dollar amount, not in your genitalia, but in the mental and spiritual arena. So as I was reading, that stuck in my mind, so I had to bring this to the forefront just to talk to you a little bit on this. But let's go into this. He says, they are rebelling against their teachers who teach education. They are fighting their teachers, and then they set their houses on fire, schools, colleges, and universities. This means in words, as I have said above, they are destroying their own civilization. So when you defund your educational system, when you defund your Head Start, when you defund your preschool, when you're defunding your colleges and putting heavy tax burden on the future leaders of your nation, you're in actuality destroying the very pillars of your nation and your republic. Okay? So Muhammad says, the black people today, and that's what that woman was who represented the teachers in Detroit. She was a black woman. Muhammad says, the black people of today who are blindly helping the white people to destroy this civilization are like Samson was in his day and time. See, they don't realize that America's in the midst of a decline and fall. They don't realize that this is the judgment. They go to church every Sunday believing that judgment is going to come. They don't never believe that judgment has arrived. They go to the temples and they teach about a judgment. And some even teach about a judgment happening, but they don't believe it because they're not going into the depths of it. You understand? So as she spoke in terms of being a part of the educational system, even though the educational system was keeping black people at bay. You understand? So Muhammad says, the black people of today who are blindly helping the white people to destroy this civilization are like Samson was in his day and time. He helped to pull the building down, but he was blind to the effect of the destruction of the building. All Samson wanted to do was to get even with his mockers, who had put out his eyes and who had laughed at him. Samson did not care whether there would be a civilization left behind him or not. He was willing to die blind to the knowledge of the future of his people and those people he was destroying. This is America. This is how it is. He says, throughout America, her colleges, her universities, and her teachers are in danger. The students no longer want old world education. It is a new world that they want. But in their mad destruction of the old world, they do not know how to prepare for the new world civilization. They do not have guidance for a new civilization. And in their madness, they refuse to hear a teacher teaching of an educational system of a better civilization, the civilization of the black man. Now, when we flip over to page 97, we get the real underlying fact of what is actually taking place. We get the insight of why these things are taking place. Muhammad sheds more light on why there's upheaval in the educational system, why that is being defunded, why is the black man in such a condition today, in the midst of all of this, he says, the destruction of America's educational system is the best thing, not one of the best things, but the best thing that Allah could get rid of, that which you depend on for guidance. See, you depend on that. And you think if you graduate from college, you got a job waiting for you. Instead of you putting that brain power towards self and building what they say that you qualified to be for yourself, you go back and put your effort, your brain power, your labor into their system. And then if they don't give you a job, you, well, I got a degree, but they won't hire me. Instead of you getting together with some other brothers and sisters who have that same knowledge and building towards self, you're lazy people. So Muhammad says, America's educational system has never benefited you and me, only to keep us slaves to the white man. We, the black people, want an educational system that would bring us into unity as a man before Allah. We want an educational system that we can read in the light of ancient and modern history. We want an educational system that will guide us through tomorrow, not an educational system that is dying today. What hope have you in a world that is crashing and bursting asunder as America is? Do you think that they will be here, that we will be here, and that you will go back like it was, like you were before the war? Muhammad says, I say, you wait and see. This is the end of America. Allah will destroy her, for she is the most evil one of the white race. Now, we get it why America is suffering this turmoil. This is about her educational system. You see the turmoil. You see the job market, the insurrection Muhammad talks about in Fall of America. All of this is to bring America to her knees because she's the most evil, the most deceitful, and the most wicked. So she's to suffer the most chaos. She's to suffer the worst class warfare. She's to suffer the insurrection. She's to suffer more war. She's to suffer more of the collapse burden than any nation on earth. And we're looking at it in real time. And Mr. Obama, while all this is happening, this goes back to him being one of the greatest puppets to ever live. He could, Mr. Geppetto would be proud of him himself. Don't you think? Mimicking and uttering words that his white master put in his mouth to say. And then he wants to demand other nations to bow to American dictates when it's American policy, this American system, this American currency, this American mindset, which has the world in total disarray and decay right now. But yet he says America should dictate the terms to the world and not the world dictate to America. Listen to this fool. This is a minute and 34 seconds. Listen to this fool. I'm telling you, they couldn't find a better stepping and fetching if they looked in a time machine. But pay close attention to this.
President Barack Obama says the world should play by America's rules, words he used to explain how the Trans-Pacific Partnership would keep the U.S. as the world's global trade leader.
America should write the rules. America should call the shots. Other countries should play by the rules that America and our partners set, not the other way around.
The TPP is a trade deal which involves 12 countries and 40% of the world's economy. It was signed in February this year, but the member states still have 2 years to ratify or reject the agreement. However, the deal has been heavily criticized for being negotiated behind closed doors. Experts also say the TTP is a tool for America to hold off its main competitor, China, which is not included in the agreement spanning large parts of Asia.
The economic effects of this will be so disastrous that no country that wishes to survive can accept this and continue to do so without difficulty. Most of the clauses of this treaty are still not known. We don't know. The general public doesn't know. I don't even think the legislatures know what is in this treaty. It is the people who are doing the negotiating. There have been opposition even from them. But I think if it were all put on the public table, you would see such an outcry that it would be quickly shelved and placed on the scrap heap of history.
Now, did you hear the arrogance of Mr. Obama? Since this was a 1 minute clip, I want to get to something. I'm going to replay part of the clip because I want to get to something and just to show you just how arrogant America is. It reminds you of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Babylon, it reminds you of all of these leaders. Pharaoh, who gave you permission to worship Moses as God? I didn't. I'll cut off your hands and feet on opposite sides. In that Pharaoh, look at what my hands have wrought. In that Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, right? Look at what my hands have wrought. Not what God has blessed me with, but what I've done. Everybody should listen and look at me and take orders from me. I'm the power. That's somebody that has become inebriated over being able to exert power for a short period of time. They are drunk on power. That is empire. Listen to this again, black man and black woman, because, to get the depths of what is being said here, listen closely.
President Barack Obama says the world should play by America's rules, words he used to explain how the Trans-Pacific Partnership would keep the U.S. as the world's global trade leader.
America should write the rules. America should call the shots. Other countries should play by the rules that America and our partners set, and not the other way around.
Now, you see that? So if America should write the rules, and America should call the shots, and we have prophecy that God comes to usher in a new world, and God comes to call the shots, and God comes to write the new rules, and dictate the new policy. If America says that they should do it, not the other way around, they have declared war on God to make God's word null and void. You don't look at things like this, but this is exactly what they're doing. They're trying to make war with the Lord of the world because God has come to end their rule and their reign and to lift you up and to destroy them. This is why the Bible tells you that the tail will become the head and the head will be the tail. There's a transfer of power. There's a transfer of wealth. There's a transfer of burden on the people in the change of worlds. Welcome to the age of chaos, class warfare, insurrection, war and collapse. Let me do as I promised and go to Brother Rashid real quick. My Brother Rashid, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum, brother. How you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm alive, Black. After that, everything is all right. Brother, you were talking about when I was in Phoenix, that was right next door to the Messenger's house in Phoenix, and that was Emmanuel, Messenger's oldest son. That was the oldest son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and have no wisdom of the Messenger at all, brother. He should have been ashamed of himself. But what they couldn't see is, like we was talking before, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as the Messenger said, I'm a forerunner. But things, if it didn't happen right in their time, they got mad. But Allah did not bless them with understanding. That when the Messenger talks about that, it is the 60 to not exceed 70 years of extension. It also corresponds with the 1,380 years after the death of Prophet Muhammad, which is 2012. This stuff comes at this time, not 40, 50, 60 years ago. Now, like you say, pick up the message to the black man and spin in the air, and when it land, every page it would land on, you find something in there talking about the time in which we're living today.
That's right, brother.
All I can say, brother, is Elijah Muhammad, that which he taught looks and sounds a whole lot it looks and sounds very good now. Just look at what the Messenger had for his farm and all of that food. And like you said, with the water and all of that stuff. What Elijah Muhammad had set in motion for us then, it would look a whole lot better for us if we had it now instead of listening to these would-be leaders who took the Messenger's words as a lie and got rid of everything.
Yeah.
Now look what you got. You got nothing. You got no unity. Wallace and his minions broke the unity of the Nation of Islam. And now there's no brotherhood or sisterhood. But you like the minions say, stick around. The worst is yet to come. You're going to be begging for what Elijah Muhammad had for us before this thing concludes. But the minions say, it's going to be on the skin of our teeth. And you got no skin on your teeth. We are going to be in bad shape and begging for what Allah has, like you were saying about people in Detroit. It would look very good if we had a nation that we can go to our own when the white man is collapsed. But since we didn't accept Elijah Muhammad's teaching, we got to go through this, brother. Go ahead,
that's right.
I'm not going to keep you. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. I'm glad the brother clarified that was Brother Emmanuel, the Messenger's oldest son. Brother, don't you believe that man met with God? The madness, this is what I'm saying. Having the same DNA, yet not the right material in him, it blocked him from understanding and from seeing, and it blocked an entire nation from grasping what Elijah Muhammad said because they were into the now. They wanted it then. If it didn't transpire then, they didn't believe. And as the Quran and the Bible tells us, that you would turn out to be the losers if you did not hold on to what that last prophet or that last messenger gave to you. And they would be scrambling trying to rebuild that which they helped to destroy. They would be scrambling trying to, because now they can see what Elijah Muhammad was doing. They can see why he wanted the hospitals. They can see why Elijah Muhammad wanted this and why Elijah Muhammad wanted that. They can see why he bought farmland. They can see why he built apartment houses. They can see why he had ports using them to bring in fish. They can see why he had storehouse, lamb and beef and chicken, processing plants. They can see it now, but you didn't understand it then. And now you want to grab it all back. But the time has moved on. Therefore, God says that for your rejection of my messenger, you got to suffer now. You got to go through this now. Because you allowed the brotherhood and sisterhood to be broken. Because Wallace came in and the other leaders with Wallace came in and started, oh, the white man ain't bad. And start integrating and start letting you do this, the stuff that you had in your heart now, that you were hiding, that was dormant, and it came out. Now you must suffer this. This is what the book calls the deprivation. You are being deprived of that which the messenger of God had given to you because you didn't want to accept it when he gave it to you. And you didn't want to accept it how he gave it to you. You thought you could do it better. You thought you could teach it better. You thought you could run it better. Well, I say run it back. Let us see what you have done today. Welcome to the age of chaos, class warfare, insurrection, war and collapse. This is where we are. This is the meaning of the show. Elijah has been vindicated. God has been vindicated. The prophets and apostles and messengers of old are being vindicated, and all of their followers are being vindicated. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because you get understanding and you see these things for what they are, and you see people spinning in circles trying to do something that the time is against. Understand? So, as we talked about the destruction of America's jobs, the educational system, the insurrection, the fallout from all of these things, we go back to a clip that they didn't want to play on the last show. And what I did, instead of doing a six-minute clip, what I did to get you back informed of it, re-informed of it, is I added, I think, three or four extra minutes on there from the previous clip that it came from, so that you can run from a little bit that was in your mind up to what they blocked. So it's about 10, 11 minutes. I want you to listen closely to this clip. This is Gregory Mannarino, and he's talking about there's no way out for this world. There's going to be mass loss of life, black man and black woman. This is what must take place. Whether you like it or agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. God ordained it. Therefore, it must come to be. So listen closely to this.
Participating in a fraud. A fraud. What am I referring to once again? It's the financial system. Look, the debt-based economic model has inherent risks all over the place, and we're seeing that again with the debt crisis in Europe, where they've gone negative rates. Other central banks around the world have gone negative. Here in the United States, we have a Federal Reserve that continues to suppress interest rates artificially, not allowing the market to determine fair value for debt. It can't happen. If the free market were allowed to determine fair market value for debt, yields would be skyrocketing, and you would have massive amounts of pressure on the stock market, which would sell off. So the illusion that things are good to the general population would crumble around them and say, hey, wait a minute, the stock market is not at or near all-time record highs. What's going on here? You understand? This is the mentality of the general population. And there would be a lot of pain because of that, and people would start to rise up, and they would say, hey, what's going on? The 2008 crash event was kind of a wake-up call here. But what we're going to be facing moving forward is worse by exponents. The financial system, again, this fraudulent system built upon the relentless acquisition of debt in perpetuity, can never stop. What does that mean? At one particular time, holders of debt, government debt, corporate debt, are going to be taking massive losses. And that's when the people are going to start to wake up, when they realize that a lot, that their investments are no good. The system itself is going to implode on itself. It's going to implode. Now, another concept that I have covered many, many times, especially lately, is this collapse that we all know is coming here is simply not really a collapse. It's a normalization of this distorted environment. This debt bubble that has been inflated by the direct collusion between our policymakers, the President of the United States, colluding with Janet Yellen, the Chairwoman of the Federal Reserve, and other, you know, high officials in the government colluding with their respective central bank, they have caused a situation that is so dire and so extreme that there's going to be a price to pay for this on a biblical level. Again, when this all comes down, people do not understand. The general population does not feel connected to what's happening on Wall Street. They don't feel connected at all to the debt, the national debt that they owe. It's not mine. Meanwhile, they'll borrow to buy a house. They'll borrow to buy a car. They'll borrow to go to school. So they are participating and are direct owners of the national debt. Meanwhile, they don't see it that way. They need to keep their blinders on. You understand? Now, if you go to the financial system and people don't pay attention to, they also don't realize that they're direct participants in this. By them simply going to work and being paid in fiat, again, keeps the debt-based economic model going here. So they're direct participants in the Wall Street game that they don't feel connected to, but they will. Again, when all of this corrects to fair value, which it will, fair value for debt will be realized, fair value for the markets will be realized, fair value for housing, fair value for currency, fair value for precious metals, and everything else will be realized and is going to seem like the mother of all collapses. But all it is, again, is the market correcting itself, bringing itself to a fair value. The middle class will be wiped out when this occurs. When this event unfolds, forget about it. The middle class, again, has been so indoctrinated at this point to believe that the debt-based economic model is sustainable, it will always function, and we're already seeing, again, look at the cracks everywhere, people. Let's go back to the European debt crisis here, the crisis in Puerto Rico, the crisis with regard to debt in many municipalities here in the United States. All of that debt that is being held by the public and whoever else, corporate debt too, understand, poses a huge problem for which there is no fixing other than a complete reset of the system. A lot of people talk about debt forgiveness. Well, you know what? A lot of people out there who own debt don't understand how that will, who might even not even realize that they own the debt, how they will be impacted here. There's no way to fix it. Again, if there were a way to fix this debt issue, this debt crisis, world central banks, again, with their government would have fixed it already. They can't do it. All they can do is continue to inflate the debt bubble. Again, why? It's the nature of the system that demands debt be borrowed into existence in perpetuity. It can never stop. $19 trillion in debt is going to be 20, it's going to be 30, it's going to be 40. It's never going to hit that because it's going to implode way before that. And that's another reason why world central banks have gotten so desperate that they need to suppress interest rates and go negative. Because if, again, this debt has to be serviced. The interest on that debt has to be paid. If it's not, what happens? Again, the whole system will implode. And a great many multitudes of people around the world are going to suffer as the system melts down and the middle class is evaporated. There's going to be rioting in the streets, every nation on earth, when this comes down, people. So what do you do? What do you do to get outside their system? It's very simple. And it's my two concepts that I've been talking about literally for years. Become your own central bank. I cannot stress this enough. This run-up with gold and silver that we have seen, it's screaming to us that there is a problem here that I've been trying to enlighten people about for years. I've been saying, bet against this debt. That means holding a hard asset. Get out of their system and become your own central bank. Again, these two concepts go back to the same thing. Bet against the debt means to hold a hard asset. Becoming your own central bank means to hold a hard asset, period. gold, and silver, more specifically, silver. Silver, to me, again, is the most undervalued asset in the history of the world. There are many, many ways that I come to that conclusion. Do your own research about it. Don't take anyone's word for anything. I'm not trying to sell you gold or silver. I'm just trying to tell you, and I have been for years, my take on the situation. People, it comes down to this. The system around us, the debt-based economic model, is creating debt crises all over the world. And world central banks, again, colluding with their policymakers, are going to do everything they can to keep this propped up. They've already turned the financial system upside down, going negative interest rates, suppressing interest rates, and they're going to continue to inflate here. They have no alternative. And all of this, I cannot stress this enough to you, will correct to fair market value, and it's going to seem like the mother of all collapses. But all it is the market trying to normalize. That's the only job of stock markets and every other market, is to determine fair value. There is no price discovery mechanism whatsoever behind any asset that exists today because of what world central banks have done and how desperate they are to keep the debt-based economic model propped up, to continue to borrow cash into existence and debt into existence. Cash and debt are one and the same. The only product of world central banks is debt. They don't produce anything else. Understand? So, before I let you go, just one more time, this is how important it is to understand that the system is failing, and when that system fails, governments will fall. Why will governments fall? Again, people are going to rise up, and there is going to be rioting in the streets in every nation on earth. And these governments that are propped up on the back of debt, again, every bill that they print out of thin air and disperse to the people, these are unbacked liabilities that are being dispersed by bankrupt governments. Not only are they bankrupt, they're here in the United States. We're 19 plus trillion in debt. Understand? There's no value to anything. And speaking of that, I know this is getting kind of long, but I want to put another perspective on what world central banks are saying. By flipping the system upside down and going negative interest rates and suppressing interest rates, they're basically broadcasting, they are broadcasting that the money is worthless. It's worthless or worth nearly nothing. The rate of interest that is charged by institutions determines the value of the currency. You understand? So if they're saying to you, wherever you may live in the world, here, even here in the United States, because we have real negative interest rates in actual terms, they're saying that the value of the currency is zero or negative. You understand? Why would you want to hold that here? This is why it's so important to understand where we are and what you need to do to protect yourself from a financial standpoint. I'm not the guy to be talking to about how to protect yourself from, again, a scenario where people are going to turn into animals in the street when they cannot obtain basic necessities to live. Because the system, this debt bubble is not just a financial problem, people. I cannot stress that enough. I've been talking about this for years. It is a resource issue. It is a resource problem. We continue to borrow from the future to sustain the now, inflating this bubble in debt. So when this debt bubble bursts, we will not be able to continue to borrow from the future to sustain the now. We will have a correction, and I hate to have to put it in those terms, a correction in human population, which will fall in tandem with the debt bubble. Because again, resources. This is a resource problem, people. I cannot stress this enough to you. And mark my words, governments will fall as now, the system implodes.
Listen to, you've heard him well, and he's talked about the system is built on fraud. He's talking about there's no way out. He's talking about a correction and everything, and he says that this is a resource issue. This is what we continue to tell you. We've been saying this long before he ever uttered that word. And he says something very important. He says that there will be a correction. As the debt bubble bursts, in tandem with the debt bubble, there will be a correction with the loss of life. There are going to be massive loss of lives everywhere. This is what Muhammad said that that would take place. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that at the end of the fall of the white man's world, that a great majority of the population of the planet Earth must be wiped out. They must be removed. This is what Mr. Gregory Mannarino is saying. This is what he's letting you know. Because their heart is not to do good. Their heart is not, they are satisfied in this world. They're satisfied in their customs, even though their customs are to worship 10 and 20 gods. So God must remove these things that are obstacles to his complete rule. You understand? So Muhammad says, few people recognize the fact that we are living in the day of the judgment of the wicked. You would like to ignore it. Why? He asked the question, why? First he states something. You would like to ignore it. Then he asks the question, why? Then he comes and answers himself because the question was rhetorical. He wanted to give you an idea of where your mind at and let you know, I know your thoughts. Listen to what he says. You would like to ignore it. Why? It is because they love this wicked world which the wicked have built. They do not want to depart from it. So God removes them along with the world. This is where we are in the judgment. You can't say that Elijah Muhammad made this stuff up. You can't say that Rashid is not talking about something that he knows about because of how we go in depth on this. You can't say this. You can't say when Brother Rashid is talking about Emmanuel and how he was lacking in wisdom that it is not the truth. You can't say that when we talk about these things that we can't point to actual facts. Well, if we can point to actual facts, if we can put them on a scale of facts, and if we can bring it to a head for you to see the bursting of truth bursting forth into the open, then how can you deny this beautiful truth? Welcome to the age of chaos, class warfare, insurrection, war, and collapse. We go to the phone line. I already know who this is. This is my good brother Jerry right here. My good brother Jerry, I say unto you, Assalamu
alaikum. Well, like slime, sir. We hear you, brother.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, brother. All praise due to Allah. It doesn't take the sky to be full of clouds to thunder, brother. And you roaring out there, pissing on the floor.
All praise due to Allah. Go ahead and talk to the people for a minute.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm just echoing with you that Brother Rashid was speaking about Emmanuel, brother. It just goes to show, you know, show us that because you're born from the very loins of the messenger of Allah does not necessarily mean that you believe and follow the teachings of that which that your father taught. As many of us, brother, we have in our own families, brother, rebellious, you know, family members, friends, in this truth as what we believe in. As the messengers say, you know, you are a blessed man or woman, and you are a very lucky man and woman if you believe in that which I teach. And, you know, we are blessed to be able to see this truth in actual form taking place in this day and time as all of the different scholars, pundits, and prognosticators and all of the different individuals that you play on this show that are verifying the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And these are white people. These are people who have been able to benefit from a system for all these hundreds of years that they have been in existence here in America. They have benefited from this system. Now, at the end of their rule and the judgment of their world, meaning what the messenger taught of the destruction of America. These are white folks. These are not black people you're playing on this on these with these clips. Gregory Mannarino, Peter Schiff, Paul Craig Roberts, Gerald Celente, all these people have benefited from this system. Now they're crying at their world being taken. But, you know, all of this is just to show you the verification, as you say, the vindication of what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teachings of what now they're verifying and what we as black people have to do to come and recognize this truth. All of the thousands of listeners that listen to this show Tuesday, Thursday, and every other Saturday, this is verifiable truth of what the messenger taught when the white man could come and tell you that his world is fallen and is right there in the book of what you go through, brother, the tapes, Fall of America, Message to the Black Man, all of the messengers' teachings. They didn't see that then, back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s, which is to take place.
That's right.
Over time. And time proves all things. Time is vindicating the messenger and what he taught. And, brothers, be blessed, all of us. We're blessed to be in this day and time. The messenger said, you know, Daniel and the prophets wish that they can live to see this day. It's a blessing to be able to live in this time, to be able to witness the teachings of this wonderful, magnificent man, our leading teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't believe anybody else. Don't follow anybody else. Keep the messenger as the program. He is the prize. Anyone else, it will not be. These people here that you're believing and following, they're not the ones that met with God, and they're not the ones that verifying what this truth is being taught, that he taught of what these people are verifying. It's all in the book. If you got the books, the tapes, any of these would-be leaders, keep the messenger's program as what we want to strive for. This is what we're striving for, is to please Allah and his messenger. Anybody else, brother, they will take you down the course of what this devil wants to take you down. And that is the course of what? Falsification. As the messenger said, you believe in anyone other than what I teach, you will be delusion. Go ahead.
Stop reading my mind, brother. I was going to say that.
I'm stealing your thoughts, black man.
Yes, sir, my brother. Thank you, brother. Salaam alaikum. Yes, brother, brother. Reading my mind, taking my thoughts and putting them out there on the air. But seriously, brothers and sisters, Messenger Muhammad tells you, if you follow anyone other than me, you will be the loser. Now we see everybody losing out. Everybody. If you come to this show and you get a hearing, you want to come back for more. This show, I remember when we started this show, just to show you how it's grown. I was sitting down having coffee one day with my mother. And then I was over her house. And then she and I went somewhere and we came back and I said, you know, well, before we left, I was telling her, I'm going to start a radio show and I'm going to, because nobody is talking about these. Nobody is going in depth. They're just parroting something all across the nation. And it's clear, but nobody is saying it. So on our way back, I told her, I said, you know, I think it won't be called a Star and Crescent. It'll be called a Star and Crescent Report. We started the show. I asked the brother to come along. Matter of fact, we are 100, today is the 1,086th show. All right? Now, we have not been defeated. The truth has not been hardly even challenged. People have challenged it, but they've been embarrassed or left the scene acting as Dan Turn Beatty. Ha, 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 ha. All praise is due to Allah, but all the beloved brother. And ask the rest of them. They'll come out, and they think what they'll do, they'll listen from a distance. And they'll say, I'm going to try to trap that brother. But they don't understand that I can't of myself do nothing. But whatsoever he willeth, as I walk in the spirit of the messenger, that is what I'm going to do. And so when they come, they look into the kitchen and they say, well, I can get in there and do just what he. And then they jump in the kitchen and realize that it is very hot up in here. And so they have to leave for the exit doors. This is what happens. Truth, look, why should not you be proud of the truth? Why should not you be healthy in the truth? Why shouldn't you be as confident in the truth as they are in falsehood? Hell, I'm confident in Elijah Muhammad. I'm confident in the teachings of the messenger. I'm confident in the God that he represents. I'm confident in the true followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm confident in the true brotherhood and sisterhood of the nation of Islam as laid out by Elijah Muhammad. I'm confident in that. And I'll go head to head with anybody so long as it's an intelligent debate to prove Elijah Muhammad 100% right and exact. Ain't no punks. Muhammad don't make punks. And if you fear anyone outside of the realm and power of God who has come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, you are showing weakness, and God didn't create you out of weakness. You came through trials and tribulations from nothing into something. So you got to be firm and confident that God had made you into this rock or this something that will crush any falsehood that comes against you. Again, I say with a smile, this is a beautiful time to be a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I see the time runs down to 5 minutes. Brothers and sisters, give me 4 or 5 minutes after this time. Please, I'm asking you this. Because I want to play this clip. I got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got about 10 more clips. But I'm going to only hold you a little bit for one more clip, okay? So this one clip is about 3 minutes. 2 minutes, excuse me, 2 minutes. And then we'll come back to analyze it and to close. That's why I asked you for another 3 to 5 minutes, okay? So don't answer your phones and don't log off if you're on the internet. I just want you to listen to Michael Pinto talking about how the world is going to collapse. Listen closely.
Thanks for being here. Let's start off with what's going on in Europe. Now, the ECB is out there and they are printing money. There's negative interest rates. And then we hear something about them buying corporate debt. What are they doing out in Europe at this point?
Well, they're buying 80 billion euros per month, up from 60 billion just the just a few months prior. So they're trying to engender inflation. For some reason, these Keynesians believe that getting inflation at 2% is somehow better than 0 or 1%. And the notion that they could just hit 2% and just stop is ridiculous, Dave. So they're going to hit 2% sometime in the future. You know, inflation is not about people working. It's about the market losing faith in a currency's purchasing power. That's going to happen. It's happening. Once that occurs, they're going to go from 0 to 1% to 2%. By the way, it's not like they're in some violent deflation at this time. That's some kind of panic that they need to start worrying about buying corporate debt and getting the money supply, which is already booming. I think the M1 in Europe is up almost double digits. So, you know, if M1's rising at 10% and you have a 1% inflation rate, why do you need now to go buy corporate debt and get inflation at 2%? But they're going to get inflation to 2%, I have no doubt in my mind. And the same thing in Japan and in the United States is already above 2%. But what happens when it goes to 2%? They're going to say, okay, inflation is at 2%. It doesn't just stop there because, as I said, it's not about people working. Inflation is about the market losing faith in a currency's purchasing power. So it's going to be going to 2% and 3% and 4%, and that's going to cause Kuroda and Draghi and Yellen to finally slam on the brakes. That means selling assets, raising the Fed funds rate, raising the overnight interbank lending rate in Europe and in Japan as well, and even in the Sino scam artists that run Shanghai. So you're going to have rising interest rates. They're going to have to rise violently, and when interest rates rise violently, the whole entire world will collapse in unison, concurrently. So,
yeah. Now, something he said, I have to just analyze this for a minute. He said the scam artist and run Shanghai. He didn't talk about the scam artist, even though he's talking about America is going to collapse, and he's talking about Janet Yellen, who is the biggest economic scam artist in the history of the world, who has acquired the most debt in the history of the world under war, lies, and deceit. It's America. But he didn't show as much contempt for America as he did for China. Why? Because this white man, innately, even though he wants to admit that the world is collapsing, even though he wants to admit that Europe and America is trouble, he wants to project his anger against China for helping to bring it to his knees. But Muhammad said it is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. So these things that you see China doing and all of the Asian nations, they're being moved to do by the Lord of the world. You see? But this gets left out of the discussion in alternative media. We give it to you freely. Oh, you go and pay all this money to listen to these people. You join their chat rooms and their lines and their YouTube channels. And you can get it for free here. We just ask you if you get a chance to.